2 Timothy 3. We're going to start right in verse 9. I really had something else that I was going to preach on this morning, but God's just hammering away at the salvation thing. He just keeps putting stuff on my heart about salvation. We already learned what biblical salvation was. Then we learned what happens after salvation. And now we've got some, what I'm going to call is people who walk around thinking they're saved and how they're going to act. And the Bible describes these people. You go ahead and look around now in Baptist churches, no matter where we go in America, these are the people we see walking around calling themselves Christians and have no clue. No clue. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to start right there. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. We know there's troubled times right now. There's troubled times no matter where you go. America's in trouble. We've gotten ourselves there. Why? Because we've let the Bible, we've taken the Bible out of everything. People are so hyped up about taking the Bible out of community places and schools and that, but they're taking the Bible out of their own home. That's where the trouble started right there. When people started taking that King James Bible out of their house. Then it started coming out of society. Listen, this Bible needs to be in your house. You need to live it. You need to breathe it. You need to go ahead and do what it says, and I'll tell you, it'll make a difference in everything that you do. And say, you know, it's not a punishment to serve the Lord. It's not a punishment to read the King James Bible. It's not a punishment. It's a freedom. We got clear consciences now. Our children are being raised right. We have a good family. It's not a bad thing to read and study and live a King James Bible. It's not a bad thing. But it says it's going to be perilous times. We're in perilous times. For men should be lovers of their own selves. If society today is not in love with themselves, then what is it? People are more in love with themselves today than they ever have been. It's all about them. Them, them, them. What can they do? What can they... It's all about their self. It's gotten to the point where people don't even care about anybody next to them. What can I get? What can I do? What can I this? What can I... It's all about themselves. There's nobody even cares anything about the next person anymore. You know, if it wasn't for a few Christians around that are really living the life, that the Lord's really touched their heart, I mean, where would this world be? I go down to Wellsprings Ministry, and I tell you, they may not have everything perfect, but that ministry is touching people, man. That ministry is important to people in this area. It's helping people. Listen, they ain't perfect people and so on and so forth. I'm going to tell you that now. But I tell you what, they're there to put their time in. They're there to help these people. People there are not people that people just go hang out with. You know, and the Bible talks about that there was going to be a marriage, and so the king's people, they wouldn't come, so he started calling people from the byways and the highways. That's what's at Wellsprings. Nobody wants those stinky people. Nobody wants to be around anything like that. Those people there at Wellsprings are doing it. Mr. Holier than Thou, I'm a Christian, I'm a Baptist, won't do a dang thing for them. I won't even go stand next to somebody who smells like that. Huh? That's what Baptists have become. Where are they at? They ain't one in there now. But I mean, thank God that I'm there. But there ain't one person in there besides these evangelical people. That's who's in there trying to help these people. Nobody else. Just saying. Men are lovers of themselves. We're more concerned with what goes on in our little church than we are with anything else. God didn't say, hey, I'm going to save you just to stay in your church and do nothing. There's people in the community that you can go be nice to. Maybe you just give somebody $5 for once in a while, and maybe, just maybe, that might touch somebody's life. I mean, Debbie went off the road. Cheryl found her off in the ditch. She's now in a church. You don't know what you're going to do when you touch somebody's life, but you're so in love with yourself, you don't want to touch nobody else. You don't even want to talk to anybody. Be honest, how many of you people really would just go want to go up to somebody and just talk to them about anything? You just see they're having a bad day. You know, have you ever just went up to somebody and said, are you okay? How's your day going? Somebody might just want to hear that. They may not. They may not. But become lovers of their own self. You call yourself a Christian. You love yourself. Love yourself. I know, you know, the one thing that I had to learn, it wasn't about me anymore. It was about Jesus Christ, the one who died for me. You know what? Then it still wasn't about me. Because then he gave me a family. That was about my family. Then guess what? It still wasn't about me. Because there's people in the community. Okay? And then maybe, just maybe, I might have some time for myself. Just maybe. Maybe not. But I'm okay with that. I'm okay with not loving myself like that. I take care of myself. I'm healthy. I eat good. Obviously, I'm not suffering too much. Lovers of themselves. We call ourselves Christians. Covetousness. I mean, everybody wants everything. Everybody has to have everything. Everybody, they'll go through great lengths just to get something because they covet it so bad. I mean, they're willing to sacrifice their family, their life, their happiness. I mean, we were sitting there the other day. We went to Walmart. We had to pick some stuff up for Valentine's Day for each other. And we were sitting in line, and here's this kid, the person we were with said they knew that person. This guy never had money in his life. Got a tax return for the first time in his life and spent $700 on an Xbox One. $700 on an Xbox? Are you kidding me? I just can't believe you love yourself that much that you're willing to sit in front of an Xbox, spend $700, you're never going to have money again in your life, you're going to spend that much money on a video game? You have to be out of your mind. $700 would help me and my family eat, get oil, wood, whatever else is going to take. I'm not saying we don't go out and ever buy anything special. We do, but I would not in a million years pay $700 for a video game. And then he bought games with it. Blows my mind, man. Who's he thinking about? Is he thinking, you know what? He's probably 19 years old thinking he's probably got one or two kids out there. Why would he feed them? Why would he help the mother get clothes? Why would he help her buy diapers? Why would he do something like that? Now think about me. If I could, you know, sometimes if I didn't get arrested for smacking somebody, I would probably smack the ribs on his head. What a waste of money. $700 on that stupidity. Boasters. How many people are boasting out there? I mean, they're boasting about, now they're videotaping each other, knocking people out. That's boasting. Oh, you're such a tough guy, boasting. Knocking a 60, 70-year-old man, not walking up to him, not. You're boasting, hey, you're a big tough guy. Why don't you go catch somebody on guard? Somebody who's waiting for you. Come on, bud, come on. Go ahead and catch somebody that's on guard and boast about that when you're getting your rear end handed to you on the phone. Why don't you put that on YouTube? You want to boast about things? You're just a real tough guy. People, I mean, can you believe the murders that are going on today for the elderly people? They're killing them. Left and right, just absolutely slaying them. Breaking into their house, beating them up, and they're bragging about it on the streets. You're a real tough guy. You're just so tough out there beating up old people. Yeah. And they're boasting about it. All these people, these rap singers and country singers, you know what they're boasting about? Their evilness. And you know what? Guess who's paying for it? You are. You're buying their albums. You're buying their disgusting music. I call it disgusting. That's what I was into my whole life. Trust me, I was into Satanism. I've been into death metal. Most of you might not know what death metal is. A few who might. I was into all that garbage. You know what? I paid for them to go ahead and live the lifestyle they wanted to live. I made them that way. And they sit back, and while you're suffering and scraping up money to buy their garbage, they're sitting back with millions and millions of dollars not worried about you for one second. I've said it before, Jack Daniels didn't come help me in prison. Budweiser didn't help me in prison. The dope man didn't come help me in prison. The crack man didn't come help me in prison. Nobody came to help me in prison but my family. That's who came to help me in prison. Sure wasn't none of these other people who were just collecting my money, sitting back and laughing at me. Listen, if these people really cared about you, then why do they let you live in poverty? But you'll have a small church like this who will give you anything out of their pocket they possibly can to help you. It's time for you guys to wake up and see where the reality is, where the real people are. The real people aren't out there making millions of dollars laughing at you. Oh, they're your friend, huh? Then why don't they come over and hang out at your house with you? Boasters, proud. I've never seen such pride in my life in people walking around the way they are, just happy, nose stuck up in the air. The kids today, just the youth of today, they got their nose so far stuck up in the air, somebody needs to slap it down a couple times. Just proud. Proud of everything they do. There's no remorse. Nobody feels sorry for anything anymore. I feel sorry for any little thing I ever do to God or my family. I just can't believe that people are out there living the life they live and they're not even sorry about it. They're proud. Proud. Here we go. Blasphemers. I've never in my life. Today, the people today have to be taught from a whole new way. Preachers can't go out there and just start preaching to people anymore. Now they have to start in the law because nobody even knows the law. Nobody even knows what to do anymore with anything. I mean, when I first, I think I had a little bit of background on the Bible only because I've been in jails and prisons. But there's people out here, there's people in the church, there's people in all these churches that don't even know what the law is. You can't go out there and read them the Romans Road because they don't even know what the law is. How do they know the lost? You're going to go out there and read them the Romans Road. What's that going to do for them? They don't even know they're breaking the law. They don't know they're sinning against God. Paul says the law was our schoolmaster, not the Romans Road. The Romans Road almost sent me and my wife to hell. And I'm not saying the Romans Road cannot, it can lead somebody to salvation. I believe that because it's God's word. But they need to know first. They need to know what they are, who they are, what they're sinning against. If they don't know that, they can never become lost. You have to be lost before you can be found. Plain and simple. Blasphemy. Here we go. We're talking about enemies of the truth. We're talking about grown people. Disobedient to parents. He didn't say he was talking to children. He's talking to everybody. That includes us adults who are disobedient still to our parents. Disobedient. Listen, if you have a relationship with your parents, I don't care what age it is, you shouldn't be disobedient to them. The Bible says that. It says, honor your mother and your father. Hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Hard to do. He just says, honor them. He'll take care of the rest. That's all he asks you to do is honor him. He'll take care of the rest. I guarantee it. Guarantee it. My mother knows this. There was a point in time I did not like my mother. I got saved, and now I love my mother to death. Why? He gave me a new heart for her. By honoring her. I don't get to see my dad a lot, but I honor him. I love him. When I'm there, I don't have any disrespect towards my dad or my stepmother at all. I don't come home saying bad things about them. I honor them just the way God tells me to. We don't get to spend a lot of time together. They live a long way, but when I'm with them, I honor them. You ask them if I don't. I honor my father and my stepmother. I love them. God told me to honor them, and that's what I do. What's he saying here? That these are people calling themselves Christians, and they're disobedient to parents. How are you going to teach your children to respect you when you can't respect your own parents? You want to teach your kids to respect you, to respect your parents then. Honor your parents if you want honor from yours. Dads, I'm just going to let you know, fathers, the Bible says your children are your glory. How your children are acting, how your wife is because of you. That's what the Bible says. Now, I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you what the Bible says. So the reflection of your children are because of you. That's something you should swallow once in a while, because I know I swallow every day. When I make my mistakes. Unholy. Oh, excuse me, I missed one. Unthankful. Unthankful. I've never met, so they got most of the kids in here that we deal with. They're very respectful, are they not? You know, you step outside these doors, it's a whole different ball game. They don't even say thank you for anything. They're not thankful for anything. Wellsprings puts up with a lot of that. Nobody says thank you for what they do. Nobody. Jim, I was talking to Jim, who runs it. He says, very rare do we get any kind of thank yous. And they're still there doing it. Unthankful. Here's all these people are donating their time, their clothes, food, and everything else. And people are just unthankful. You know what they think, he says? Like they owe it to them. Like they owe it to them. People, nobody owes you nothing in this world. Nobody owes you a dime. Nobody owes you nothing. You're in your, this, most people, I'm not saying all, but most people are in their situations they're in because of them, yourself. Wake up and smell that. You don't want to see who you are. They don't want to realize what's really going on in your life. My mother, my dad, drug addicts and all, they didn't ruin my life. I ruined my life. Me. I ruined my life. I made those decisions. I knew what right from wrong. I knew what I was doing. Unthankful. Unthankful. Listen, unholy. There's no holiness. You walk into a church and you see more unholiness than you do on the streets. You kidding me? That's just how churches are these days. Nobody cares about holiness anymore. You know, everybody's so out there busy preaching to each other. And you know, churches are just out there preaching to each other anymore. They're not out there getting out there where, you know, what does Jesus send people? He sends them out there. He doesn't send them to each, you know, we got lost people in our churches. I understand that. But we need to get out there to the community. We need to get out there and bring the people in here. That's That's where Jesus sends us out. But you know what? We're too busy living our own holy life to go out there to those who are unholy. We're too busy being caught up in, you know, we get caught in a comfort zone. How many of you right now can tell me that you're not in a comfort zone sitting in this church? You're not willing to go out there and do anything for this church, for Jesus Christ, or anything else, because you're too busy being caught in a comfort zone. How do I know that? Because it's hard for me to come out of my comfort zone to go to Wellsprings every week. That's a hard place to be in. I have to go and talk to people. When I'm out in the street, my wife goes, how do people just come up to you and start talking to you? Because I changed my attitude about people. Jesus wants me to love them. How else am I going to learn how to love people if I don't get out of my comfort zone and just worry about myself all the time? I got to just get out there, man. I just got to put myself out there. Here you go. You got to do what you got to do to me. Do it. Let's do it, you know. You got to do what you got to do to me. That's just how else are we going to learn how to love others and get out of a comfort zone if we're so darn busy being caught up on ourselves? Verse 3. Without natural affection. I was talking to my Sunday school class today. I said, you know, you ladies, you go out there and things happen. You start doing things you shouldn't be doing with men, with boys, or whatever else you do. I said, you know what that causes? That causes unnatural affection towards your kids. You lose all your affection towards your children. You'll like them, but you'll love them, but you won't like them. My wife, ask her what she went through because of what she did when she was younger. She did not have natural affection for her kids. We were just talking about this the other day during Valentine's Day. She goes, I've really worked hard on that. God's really brought her a long way on that. Because my wife loved our children, but she didn't care for it. She lost that natural affection. Why? She just gave it up all over town. You lose that naturally. That thing is gone now. What God has set in place is history. Now she's got to be taught how to have that all over again. God never intended that for you ladies. You know what? And the little boys are punks. I mean, they're just, man, it makes me mad. Ask them. I call them like them down there punks and all that. Stay away from them darn girls. Leave them alone. Be a man, man. Guys get out there and they start fun and they want to do these things to these girls. And they're not realizing that's hurting the future. They're not realizing what they're doing to the ladies. You know, for that second, just for that moment, you're satisfying yourself and you're not thinking about children that might come. You're not thinking about her feelings anymore. You're not thinking about nothing but yourself. It goes deeper than that. It goes farther than that. And people just aren't getting that. They're not getting it. And it's all, you know, it's accepted these days. It's okay. I wonder why America is one of the top drug manufacturers of all this psychotropic medicine. How can people live any other way? But on pills. I'm not talking about pain pills that people use to help. I'm not talking about heart pills. I'm talking about psychotropic pills you have to have just to make it through the next minute. I know that because I was on 19 of them a day. Thank God delivered me from that. I had to go through a lot of hurt and sorrow. I had to go through a lot of depression. I went through. God has been not good to me. He taught me how to go through that. But you know what? It just takes away all that natural affection. Guys are supposed to have natural affection too towards a woman. You know what? We lose that as well.
Right.
We lose that towards children. We lose that towards our mothers and our fathers. We lose all that stuff when we get into that garbage. I told my Sunday school class, I'm trying to wave that white flag. I'm trying to warn you, man, before you get out there and do stupid stuff. There's people in this church who are trying to warn you, who are begging you. Yes, you're right. You may think we don't know a darn thing, but you know what? We've been there. We've done it, and we're just trying to make you not have to go through it. There's people in this church who care. There's people in this church who care about people. Why else do we stand up here week after week? Why do we pray? Why do we do it? For ourselves, I get no glory out of this. As a matter of fact, every time that God gives me something, I kid you not, every time God gives me something out of that Bible, I go through another trial.
That's right.
I have to pay a price. I have to pay a price to stand up here. But now here's the thing. Romans 12:1 says, make your body that living sacrifice. Here I am, Lord. I got nothing else in this world but to live for you. That's my heart. I pay that price. I pay that price to be separate from this world. I do. I pay a big price for being separate from this world. And I'm okay with that. Because this world hurt me. without natural affection. Truce breakers. Truce breakers. Yeah, we're okay. 10 minutes later, that person go ahead, turns around, they're talking behind your back just like they did before. Truce breakers. Can't keep a promise. Yeah, I promise. I'll come over there and, you know, everything will be fine. Don't worry about it. Take care of it. 4 weeks later, you're still calling. Hey, just, you can't, nobody can keep the truth. Nobody can keep it anymore. Nobody can shake a hand anymore. Where's Luke? Where is it?
Right there.
When we talk about things, what do me and you do afterwards, buddy? Shake hands. I'm teaching my son how to shake a hand, and that's a deal me and you made. He's going to keep that. He's going to honor that. He's going to honor that. Maybe nobody else in this world might not, but me and Luke will. Me and Luke will shake hands with somebody, and we'll keep that. I want my son to know what it is to have honor for somebody else. And when you shake a man's hand, that's what you're going to do then. That's what you're going to hold up to that. That's your end of the bargain. Without natural affection, truth breaker. False accusers. Oh. How many of us have done that in the last few days? The last few hours? Just accusing people for no reason.
Cool.
You have no clue what might be going on in somebody's life, but yet you want to sit there and accuse them of everything. Have no clue. One of the big talks me and my wife had, sometimes she'd go, gosh, that person was rude. I said, honey, just think of the day they might have been having. You don't know what's going on in their life. Don't accuse them of being this or being that, because you just don't know. We don't know what kind of lifestyle that person. Well, she said, all right, I'm getting a new student. Boy, they look like they're going to be a little tough, you know, on paper and this and that. I said, don't judge them, hon. You just don't know what kind of lifestyle that little kid's coming from. Don't accuse them yet. Give them a chance. I know papers may say one thing, but doesn't mean that person's going to be like that all the time. God has sent that child to you for a reason. There's a reason why every child that goes into my wife's class is there for a reason. I guarantee that. Because there's other 811 classes just in the area they can send them to. They send them to Amy, special ones. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe God's got his hand on that. And she's learning that slowly. She's got a soft heart now for kids. She cries for them. I mean, she doesn't tell people their names and all that stuff. She's not allowed to do that stuff. But I see her in tears for them kids, man. She goes out and buys them little toys and, you know, this and that. Nobody else does it for them. She's just trying to win their love. That kid may never get love again. You know what? That kid might turn 25 one day and go, God, I never miss Amy did that for me. I wonder where she's at now. Just so happy, find out, that, you know, it leads him to come into this church or wherever we may be at that time. You don't know what you're doing when you're out there doing that. You don't know who you're touching. Be careful when you do stuff. Especially if you want to go ahead and carry on the Christian name and say you're from Black Creek. Please, we don't need anything more worse going on than already does go on. Watch. God wants to use you. I promise you He wants to use you. I'm not the only one. Pastor's not the only one. There's something God has for you. Do you want what He has to give you? We all want to go and do this and go do that. And He says, no, I want you doing this. You got to be agreed to it. I told that to Amy just the other day. Wherever the Lord has us, that's it. That's what we're going to do. I don't care what it is. We may just sit here the rest of our life, be up here on whenever the pastor allows me to be up here, and that'd be it. I'm okay with that. Without natural affection, truth breaking, false accusers, incontinent. I don't know what that word means, so I skipped over it. Fierce. I don't know the Bible completely yet. And I never will know the Bible completely. Because every time I read it, something new pops up. I think I might have something settled, something new pops up. I go, man. It just keeps going and going. See, people, that's one of my arguments with them. This guy was arguing with me about the Bible and this and that. I said, well, you have to keep reading. You have to keep, listen, every time you read it, something else is different. God teaches you something different. It's never ending. It just keeps going. You didn't even read through the Bible not one time. So how are you going to say, you haven't even given it a chance with your open heart. So how are you going to say it's boring or you can't read it or you can't do it? Listen to me. If it came to reading medicine, or if it came to reading the newspaper, or if it came to reading a social security check or something like that, you could read just fine. The Bible becomes very easy to read. Very easy to read. I was not the smartest thing to ever fall off a tree, but I can read a King James Bible. Did it always come easy?
No.
Does reading always come easy to your children? No, you have to teach them that. So why wouldn't you want to be taught how to read a King James Bible? Get into it. You can't go ahead and judge this thing without reading it. You can't judge it unless you start getting into it and let it do what it has to do. People just want to give up on it, throw it away. That's no good. You don't know that. Without natural truth breaker, fears. 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 These people, I just read that in the paper today, this 22-year-old lady, her and her husband got picked up for killing somebody. She said, "We're Satanists. We killed 22 people across the United States. Now they're thrown back like, what? Pretty girl. Long black hair, brown hair, glasses, just pretty, 22 years old. We're on a spree, killing spree, because it's for Satan. 22 people across America they killed. She's 22 years old. The rest of her life is over. Fierce. How'd she do it? She explained it. Her boyfriend got behind her and was choking her while she sat in the front seat stabbing the guy. You tell me that's not fierce. Guess who that is in? You. You think you're invincible from that stuff? You got another thing coming. America has become a fierce nation. We've become an angry, hateful nation. Hateful. God, I think I was 15 or 16 when I put hate across my knuckles, and that's when I was that young. It's even worse now. Hateful. We abort kids like it's okay. Drop them off, throw them in garbage cans, flush them in toilets and all that, and we act like it's okay. How can you breathe? How can you take a next breath? Amy asked me, how can people have a conscience? How can they sleep at night when they do that kind of stuff? Fierce, man. People are angry. They're angry. They hate. Hate. Hate drives people. Bitterness. They live off that stuff. It's like a drug having that stuff running through your veins. Despisers of those that are good. Despisers of those. You just don't know how many times I get somebody's nose stuck up at me. Because I want to live a good... You know, sometimes I had to sit here and tell myself this the other day. I said, I'm not the one that's doing wrong. They are. Why am I feeling bad? Because they despise me because I want to live my life good. You're going to have a lot of that when you start living your life good. Now listen, I don't hammer anybody. I don't go to my mom and my dad and my brother. I don't hammer what they do in their life. I don't go ahead and pound them out. And that guy that I had the discussion with, I didn't go there and just force all this crap on them. I didn't do that to them. I don't do that to them. I live my life because I want to live my life this way. I want to live my life good. Not my family so much, but others look at me and despise me. They despise because I want to live my life. They think there's something wrong with me. Like the guy who was in the garden, he was a nut. After Jesus, you know, got them spirits out of him, the legion, he was dressed in his right mind.
Amen.
I'm dressed in my right mind, but yet I'm the one who's a nut. I'm the one who's crazy. You know, people had a hard time with me when I was a drug addict and alcoholic and going to prisons and jails and rehabs and everything else. They had a hard time with me then. They have a hard time with me now, and I'm clean in my right mind. They have a hard time with me still. It just doesn't make sense to me. You know why? Because they're despisers of those that are good. Do you know how many of us sit in this room tonight that are despised because we're doing good? We're despised because of that. Why? Because this world doesn't like good. It likes bad. That's why everybody likes darkness. You ever notice why everybody likes doing everything in dark places? Because we're the children of the light. The devil doesn't like that. 4. Traitors. Traitors. Everybody's a traitor, man. I mean, just in the past few years, I don't have any knives I got sticking in my back from people just trading on me. Just traitor. We all got traitors in our lives. We all have traitors in our lives. Even all Christians and brothers will do that to us. Then we can forgive, because God says we need to forgive them. You know, I even forgive people who trade on me who are not Christians. Because that's just when you're going to stick your neck out there, you're going to expect that. It's just going to happen. That's a hard lesson to learn. I used to come to the pastor complaining all the time. You got to get used to that. You're just going to have to learn that lesson. You're just going to have to learn how to eat that once in a while. But be wise next time. Be wise next time. Be wise next time. You know what? When I stood there in front of that guy, he really just started hammering on me. I just quieted myself inside. I said, Lord, you give me the wisdom on how to answer this. Afterwards, me and him were able to shake hands and everything. It was great. He said, I really like you. You see, I gained my way into his life now. You see? I won't be a traitor to him. I'm not going to go back there and try hammering on him and this. And I'm going to be his friend. It's going to be his friend. Heady. Heady. Everybody's heady. Everybody's high. The next one, high-minded. High-minded. Everybody knows everything. They're all heady, all big blown up, big puffy heads. Somebody needs to stick a needle in there, slit his pocket once in a while. You know, let some of that air out of there. Because every time I talk, all you hear, all it is air. It makes no sense. Everybody's got a philosophy these days. You ever notice that everybody's got a philosophy? They all have their own philosophies. And you think about it, you're like, it takes more to believe something like that than it would to believe the Bible, to believe what Jesus could do to somebody. I mean, some of the stuff these people believe is just unbelievable. I don't know if anybody's ever heard the Nation of Islam. They call themselves NAOI, the Nation of Islam, and they call themselves God bodies. They believe that they're here on earth and they're little gods amongst the earth. And they give themselves names, like mathematical would be a name. Okay? A planet would be another name. That's what they give themselves, these kind of names, mathematical and so on. They believe they're really small gods on earth, and the white man was created in the Caucasus Mountains. And that we were created by evil scientists. This is what they're believing. That me, they used to call me the white devil all the time because that's what they believe the scientists who got corrupted made people like me. That's what they walk around this earth believing. And SSO, if that's the case, sir, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to kill. This was my famous one. They used to call me and my buddy, when we were in prison, they used to call us Peter and Paul. Because we would just go after everybody and preach the word out, okay? So I'd kill a fly. Me! There you go. Resurrect that fly. You got so much power there, G-O-D. And they would just look at me and we'll go, hey, well, it ain't that kind of power. Then what kind of power is it? I don't understand your kind of power since you're a God. Since you helped create me and you can destroy me, then what kind of power do you have here? But people believe they're really gods on this earth. That's where all the high-mindedness comes from. The devil's got them so bloated in their head that they really think they're small gods here on earth. They really believe they have it. They can do everything. They don't need a God to tell them what to do because they are God. So they were got in their head. So we got stuck in their head. Here we go. This might hurt some. Because I know it hurt me and my wife for a long time. And here it goes. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's a hard one. That's a very hard lesson that God needs you to learn if you're a Christian. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Pleasures are great. They are phenomenal. But like I told my son the other day, we had to have a discussion about priorities. Look at his priorities, my son. I made him make a list. His first three things on his list were playing video games and toys and such. Those were his first three things on the list. Now I let him make up his own list. I put no influence whatsoever. I said, Luke, now we're going to show you how crooked your priorities are. And we went through the list. And he agreed. He signed a piece of paper saying, I totally agree with you, Dad, that my priorities are messed up because his pleasures came before God. His pleasures came before anything else in his life. And what was it doing? Making him lazy. Making him worthless. Not wanting to do nothing. Didn't want to listen to his parents. Couldn't do school work. You see? Pleasures will do that. But now, we went through Ecclesiastes 3, right, Luke? And it tells you in Ecclesiastes 3 there's a time for everything. But see, as humans, we can't get that right in our lives, that there's a time and a place for everything. The time and place for everything needs to be, this is not going to settle well for a lot of people, and that's okay. Okay, because I'm not the one saying this is God. This is what he says, that we need to be lovers of him. So we need to take, and God has to be first. Now, when I go to my dad's and I travel, we go out there and go for Thanksgiving and stuff like that, we go to church out there. We have a church set up out there. So instantly, right off the bat, I have God taken care of first. And then my pleasures with my family. Sometimes if we don't make it to church for whatever reason, me and Amy and the kids will go upstairs and we'll pray and read on our own. But see, that priority of having God first over the pleasures. God's not telling you can't go out there and do anything. He's not trying to punish you and tell you not to go out there. But where is that priority? Are you willing just to let God be first? Are you willing to let God be first and then your pleasure? That's what he wants from you in your heart. He's not saying you can never go out there and have fun and don't do anything again. That's not what he's telling you. Are you willing to put him first, though? Are you willing to put him before that priority? And I tell you what, life is a whole lot better when you put God first, then your priority, then your pleasure. It's a whole lot better. Hey, babe, doesn't things go a little smoother when we do that? Don't you think that it works a little better for us? I just tell you this not because I want to pick on people and say that. Listen, I tell you because I just want to protect you from the hurt that me and my wife have learned. We've learned a lot from going through things. So I'm trying to save you from having to go through them. Whether you want to listen to him or not, that's fine. But God is just wanting the willingness of you to put him first and then your pleasures. Put him first. He needs to be first. He has to be first in everything in your life. If he's not first in everything in your life, forget it. Everything else is not going to fall in order. God is he says this in the book, decency and order. God likes decency and order. I like decency and order. My wife isn't so much a decency and order person, but he wants decency and order. And if you don't have that order correct, it's not going to work right. Okay? Let's go on to number 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. How many people are sitting in these pews today having a form of godliness and could care less about God? I mean, how prevalent is that in our churches today? They have a form of godliness but could care less about it. I mean, they're going around acting like a Christian. They're going around calling themselves Christians. They're going around trying to live a Christian life and could care less about what the Bible has to say, what a pastor has to say, what the Word of God has to say. They don't care about it. They'd rather listen to something that's going to tingle their ears and then go out there and live any way they want, but have a form of godliness. That's a dangerous place. Why? The Bible says those type of people will have a greater damnation. They'll be burning in hell just a little deeper than the rest of us. Pharisees going to have the greater damnation. Listen, when you're out there having a form of godliness, you're a Pharisee. You're somebody on the outward that looks really good, but on the inward, you're full of dead men's bones. You're going to burn greater for that. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Don't be like that. The Bible says, come out from among them, be ye separate. We got to be separate from them. Not because they're a disease. Because we have to learn. Here's where I come up. We have to learn how to live on it. We have to be strong. We have to learn how to live in Christ Jesus. We have to get what his mind on things. And then we can go out there and have his mind when we deal with people. You see, if my mind gets in the way of things, then everything always turns out to be a failure. That doesn't turn out right. But if I'm back and the Lord's teaching me, and he's little by little just sending me out doing little things here and there, and I'm able to get his mind on things, it's going to be better for me to go out there with his mind than it is mine.
Right.
When I go out there with my mind, forget it. Forget it. Listen, just because I'm saved and a Christian doesn't mean I can't do wrong things. That's absurd, because Paul says that the things that I wish I would do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, that I do. He's saying he has a war. Things going on. There's a war there. Okay? So, it depends. Who do you want? What do you want? What's really in your life? What's in your heart? What do you really want? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. He says, don't be like them. For of this sort are they which creep in the houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away by divers lusts. Listen, young guys. Proverbs goes to great extents. I'm warning you about the strange woman all the time. Because a strange woman, listen, ladies just have a way about themselves on enticing guys. Okay? They just have a way to go ahead and grab a hold of our hearts and our minds and kind of leading us the way they would like us to have. The way they want us to go. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I like when my wife leads me. I like me and her get along really good when we do things together. We have a bond second to none to each other. But there has to be a line where a man needs to know where he's got to stand away from that. He's got to be able to separate that. Because if not, it says you're led away by silly women, laden with sins. What's it going to get into? You don't think me and my wife could sin? You don't think me and her could fall into that temptation? You don't think we can get into that stuff again? We can get into it all over again. Like we were never even saved. We have to be careful. Listen, there's nothing bad about you ladies. Nothing. It's bad about us men too. We're all sinners, man. We're all lost. We're all lost at one time. Okay, we have that sin nature. And that sin nature is what eats us up. That's what separates us from God. That's what keeps us. That's why he had to go to the cross. a sin nature. Forever, verse 7, forever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's a powerful verse right there. You got people who come to the church and they sit here for 8, 10, 15 years and they're sitting there and they're ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They just don't understand it. They don't get it. Why? Listen, I'm telling you now, you'll never fully understand the Bible until you're saved. Okay? God will bring you as far as He's going to bring you as an unsaved person, give you some understanding in that Bible, but I'm telling you, He's not going to bring you where He wants you to be until you are saved. You will never, you'll sit in this church as a lost person, learn a little bit here and there, and never come to the knowledge of the real truth. It just never happened until salvation happens. I learned a lot when I was a lost person, but now I just can't believe how the floodgates are open when I learn out of that Bible. I mean, just in 5-6 verses alone, just that the Bible's full of that stuff. Here, I just said I was going to, there was what, 9 verses here I was going to preach on. 9 verses, and there's a whole Bible here. How much do you think is in this whole Bible? And that's only 9 verses full of this stuff. That Bible's loaded with treasures. It's loaded with things that God would want us to have. He wants us to know, or He would have never put it in there. 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Pastors think they were magicians, sorcerers. Reprobate minds. These are people who are sitting in churches today calling themselves Christians with reprobate minds. They can care less about it. You know why they come in the house of God? Because they want people to think they're good. They want to fit in somewhere. They want to look good and feel good. That's why they do it. And they go out there and they're just full of dead men's bone inside. They lived a life full of hell and call themselves a Christian. I'm sorry, but the Christian life, listen, the salvation I got didn't lead me to doing that. The salvation of Christ, when I got saved, it led me to live a different life. I got a different outlook on things now. Anybody that ever knew me throughout my whole life knows that I would never put a suit on in my entire life. My uncle died a few years ago, and I had the hardest time wearing a white shirt tucked in. But you see, when God changed my heart, it didn't happen when I just go out there and buy a whole thing. When I got saved, things changed slowly inside. And this one day in prayer, God put it on me, Dale, maybe you should get some different clothes on you now. Maybe, and that, you know, things just changed nice and slow from the inside. God changed me from the, you know why? Because I started getting stuff right on the inside. And then slowly on the outside, God said, we can put that there. And still, you know, still people think, oh, he's just doing it for show. Trust me, I don't do it for show. Because I wouldn't have put a suit on if you paid me. Trust me, I wouldn't have put a... Matter of fact, when I graduated high school, I had wore a suit for graduation pictures and brought it back the next day to get the money back. Ask my stepmother. I didn't wear suits and tie. I didn't believe in that garbage. But now I feel good in it. And I don't do it for anybody. My wife, she enjoys it fine. But I believe this is how a woman would have me dress, and I'm comfortable in it. I'm just as comfortable in this as you are sitting in your clothes. This is how comfortable I am in it. God gave me a new heart, man. Okay, He gave me a new life. But we have these people who go out there and they call themselves Christians and they have no clue. They'll go home, because me and my wife used to do it. They'll dress nice for church, go home and throw all that off and put all the garbage on. Come to church dressed that way. That's what you really are. Why hide it? Be who you are. Don't be a fake. I tell my kids all the time, don't. Don't be a sneak. I hate sneaky people. If you're going to do something, just come right out and do it, man. Just come out and do it. You're better off that way. I was never a sneak when I went out there doing my crimes. I just went out and did it and got caught. I never hid it, though. When they say, okay, you're going to get charged with this and that, are you guilty? Guilty. I never once said not guilty. Never. I stood in front of that judge, caught, convicted. Guilty, yes, I'm guilty. Listen, just do it. If you're going to do it, just do it. If you're going to come to church, be who you are. Let God deal with you. He'll change you. He changed me. I didn't come to church 6 years ago like this. I didn't come to church 6 years ago and have the same heart that I have now, or the same outlook, or the same mind that I have now. I didn't come to church then. It's all new, and it has happened slowly. When I got saved, I still was smoking and everything else. Man, I mean, things went slowly out of my life. Some things went fast, some things went quick, but not everything. But you have these Christians out there who call themselves, or these people who call themselves a Christian, they have no clue what it is like. To have salvation. None. And they sit in our churches. If you read chapter 3, verse 1 through 9, that's what it's talking about. People who are in churches calling themselves Christians. So this is what they really are. They're really actually enemies of the truth. Number 9, I'm done. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. They shall proceed no further. It's going to end for them. It's going to happen for them. Something's going to happen. They're not going to go on any further. Everything that they're spreading around is going to stop. It's going to be done with. Okay, it's not going to happen. Listen to me. It's going to happen. It has to happen now. Today. Not tomorrow, not next week. It has to happen today with the cycles in our families. I say families with an S. I mean, it's all of our families. The cycle has to stop somewhere. It needs to be a new beginning for people. It needs to be a new beginning for the people in here who have a last name. Stop the cycles of going on and on. And the hurts, and the murders, and the corruptions. I mean, all this stuff has to stop. You got all these people that are sitting in churches, man. They're corrupted. And you wonder why nobody wants to be a Christian. I mean, that's what I hear all the time. Why don't I want to be a Christian and act like that? Why don't I want to be a Christian and act like that? Why don't I want to be a Christian and have to act like that? That's what, you know, how many times I hear that? I was at work and you'll be talking to people. Why don't I want to be a Christian to act like that? Look at him. He says he's a Christian. Why don't I want to be like that? That's what they're calling themselves, Christians. I'm just telling you now, today's the day to stop that. God calls us out for a reason. He calls us out to a different purpose. And we need to live that. Don't be one of these 2 Timothy 3 people. Let God get into your heart and change your life. I'm done, Pastor.